The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Eoin O'Brien is here. Eoin is, of course, the Sinn Féin TD and the party's housing spokesperson. Eoin, you're welcome to the show. So we knew a deal was coming. The mood music had been over the last kind of 24 hours that it was very, very close. I mean, how do you reflect on what looks like the makeup of the new government? We have a sense of what it is, not who's going to get what job per se, and what their main body of work is going to be.
So for sure, I mean, we've all known there's going to be a deal for quite some time. So I'm not surprised by the latest revelations. It's going to be a more right-wing version of the government that we've just had. And on all the really big ticket items that were of huge concern to voters, particularly the voters of our party, there's going to be no change. There's no indication from any of the leaks of the media there's going to be any change on housing, tackle rising house prices, rising rents, rising homelessness. We're not hearing anything in terms of childcare, in terms of healthcare. There's lots of genuine concerns just that the climate agenda is going to take a hit under the influence of some of the rural and regional independents. And of course, this ramshackle deal is being negotiated by a politician who was named by tribunals of inquiry as being corrupt, which is Michael Lowry. So I think this is going to be a very bad government. I think it's going to be a very unstable government. But also look at the Irish Times.
Why did you say ramshackle? I should say Michael Lowry, of course, rejects the findings of Moriarty, but you know, the Dáil and government parties have accepted the findings. Anyway, that's where that is.
Not only that, but Micheál Martin himself raised very, very significant concerns about Michael Lowry's suitability only a few short years ago, and now he's doing a deal with him. Ramshackle, because I never heard this phrase reliable independence until a few weeks ago. If you look at, for example, the Healy Rays, who are now apparently in line to get a ministry, they spent the entire last 5 years running with the hares and hunting with the hounds, attacking the government and attacking the opposition. If you look at the recent opinion polls, and it's shown the independents have taken a hit. Why? Because they presented themselves as an alternative to the government. And other than the credible principle left-wing independents like Catherine Connolly and others, they're all lining up to get a seat at the table. And I'm not hearing that they're getting any changes to policy that's going to make this country better. I mean, if they were in there making sure that, for example, we're going to get more affordable housing, that we were going to get the 10 proposals by the Housing Homelessness Policy Group, the 10 leading homeless charities, set at a stall last week, which they think needs to be in the programme of government to reduce homelessness. If they're out talking about those things, that's fine, but they're not. They're looking for seats at the table. They're looking for side deals. They're looking for prestige and influence. Having railed against a government...
We don't know what's in the programme for government yet.
But this government formation talks, like previous ones, leaks like a sieve. And we've a pretty good sense of it. Sure, we don't know the ministry allocation. That'll be decided by the Taoiseach at the final stage. But are you hearing anything about a change in housing policy? Today in the Irish Times, very, very good piece of analysis by two of the younger journalists interviewing a series of members of the Housing Commission from a range of different backgrounds, public, private and academic sector, saying nothing is going to change.
No, so well, I think the people had a chance relatively recently to vote for a change in housing policy and they didn't do it.
Well, first of all, huge numbers of people did vote for change. People voted for Sinn Féin or the Soc Dems or Labour. If you look at the exit poll, by a large majority voted for a change in housing policy. But leave aside the election for a second, because that's happened. Look at the editorials in the Irish Times and the Irish Independent only a short week ago on the back of a report showing house prices are rising again, rents are rising again, latest homeless figures are rising again. Everybody wants a change of housing policy, irrespective of how you voted. Everybody knows what's happening right now is not working. Look at the most recent Banking and Payments Federation report showing the age at which first-time buyers are buying is getting older and the amount they're having to borrow is ever greater. More and more people can't even afford to rent or buy. So I don't think anybody's in dispute that we need a change of housing policy. The crazy thing is the outgoing Fianna Fáil Fine Gael parties commissioned a bunch of experts, people who build houses every single day, to say, how do we fix this? They spent 2 years producing a report. And today in the Irish Times, leading members of that commission are essentially saying, if there isn't a radical reset of housing policy in the programme for government, things will get worse. And have you heard a single thing in any of the newspaper reports from before Christmas to now that there is any change in housing policy? No, in fact, they're going to put the very same failed housing minister, Darragh Ryan, back in charge.
All Who that should tells they put me in charge? Is,
I don't think this government should be in charge of housing. My view is...
They are, and they're going to have to appoint someone. Who should it be?
I wouldn't appoint anyone. Why?
You're going to have to appoint someone in there.
Why?
You talked about editorials in the newspaper. I think the Independent suggested that Pascal Donoghue should be given the gig.
Because
do you think Pascal would be a good Minister for Housing?
Not with the housing policies either that are there at the minute, or indeed that Pascal himself has advocated. The only thing I've ever heard Pascal Donoghue say about housing is we need far more institutional investment, deliver far more built-to-rent apartments in Dublin. they're costing working people at the moment 2,500 to 3,000 euros a month. That's not a solution. I'm not against institutional investment, but what we need is a dramatic increase in the direct delivery of social and affordable homes by local authorities and approved housing bodies. We need the 10 policy measures that were proposed by the 10 leading homeless charities to ensure that 2025 is the year that homelessness falls, not another year of it rising under Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So my worry is this, right? And the election is over, but the housing crisis and the homelessness crisis are not. Is that, are we going to see when the programme for government or the draft programme for government is published, we expect some point later tomorrow after parliamentary party meetings, are we going to see change? No, we're not. And the only change we're going to see is the Green Party are gone and a group of independents, one of whom has the most dubious of history in terms of the last time he was in government, are going to be wagging the tail of the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael dog. I think that's a very, very bad day for the country.
There's a school of thought that we don't need more change when it comes to housing policy. What we've had is too much intervention and tinkering. And it's, you know, you talk about kind of the importance, you know, with the right regulations and framework around them of institutional investors, and what scares them away is kind of changes, continual changes.
So, and, you know, Pat Farrell from Irish Institutional Property, for example, was writing this in the Irish Times yesterday, and you had another industry commentator from the institutional investment community in the Business Post on Sunday. Like, the idea that investors don't want to come here when you can charge 3,000 euros a month for a two-bed standard apartment, et cetera, just doesn't make any sense. I just don't accept that at all. And this is an industry who, next to agriculture, are the most subsidised. If I'm an institutional investor with funds from abroad, I pay no rent or no tax on my rent roll, no capital gains. And whether I'm delivering rental accommodation or accommodation for purchase, there is hundreds of millions of euros of taxpayers' subsidies that are lining my pockets. So this is an incredibly subsidised industry that is charging
enormous prices. But sometimes with those institutional investors, what they prioritise is not so much the policy, but the consistency of policy. And you see that right across the kind of FDI space. It's consistency of policy is what they really love.
What we need is two things to get more houses built and the types of houses that people need, houses and apartments. One is dramatic increase in the public sector side because they're not delivering enough social affordable. But what we also need is stop talking about institutional investors and talk about builders. We have a whole array of small and medium-sized builder developers who are desperate to build more homes right around the country, not just in Dublin, the commuter belt, but all over the country. They can't get finance. They can't get land. It's taking too slow to get through planning. And it takes too long to get utility infrastructure connected. Not only Sinn Féin's alternative housing plan, but also the Housing Commission have set out a whole set of ways to deal with those. Let's fix those blockages and let's let the SME sector here build the homes to people, not just in Dublin, but in Kilcarlo, in Kilkenny, in Sligo, in Mayo, in Waterford, etc. Need. So actually, we do need more private sector investment. But if we allow a small cohort of institutional investors who build nothing, right? They don't fund the building of the homes. They come in afterwards and buy them. We need to support the people who want to build the homes on the public sector side and the private sector side. The policy alternatives are there, but this government and what seems to be the next government don't seem to be listening to the experts. I go back to the commission, government's own commission, people from the private sector, the public sector, the AHB, the local government, the academic and the legal sector. Their report, I think, in broad terms, is the future of housing policy. Yeah. And the current minister hasn't even met them, let alone indicated they're going to incorporate their proposals into the radical reset of housing policy, which is required. And if they don't, I'm going to be coming into your studio for the next 12, 24 months or longer. What are we going to be talking about? Rising house prices, rising rents, rising homeless.
Unless you get a new gig.
And the need for change in policy.
Would you like a new job?
No, I'm...
Is there any part of you that feels kind of Sisyphean? You know, you're 5 years more of pushing that boulder?
Absolutely passionate about
five years sign the boulder might tumble back down the hill
to addressing the housing crisis. Ultimately, it's a matter for the party president what she decides to do. My understanding is that'll be something she considers after the cabinet is announced. But I've spent not just 8 years, but a very large part of my 30 years as a political activist campaigning for the right to housing. I love the work I do, and I'd love to be able to continue doing it irrespective of who's in this government or what the programme for government is. We need change of policy in housing, and that's only going to come from political pressure inside the Dáil and public pressure outside. We didn't get it this time, but there's a long way to go in this battle yet.
Would you like to see this government prioritise the passing of the Occupied Territories Bill? Something I suspect they're going to be asked about very quickly.
Absolutely, and this government should do it as a matter of urgency next week.
Sorry, I'm going to actually, I don't mean to cut across you, but I think we sometimes talk about these things as if everybody knows exactly what we mean.
And I was going to explain, because this is really important. But first of all, Next year is the sixth anniversary that a majority of TDs on the floor of the Dáil passed this piece of legislation. What does it do? What it does is it would prohibit the trading of goods and services produced in the occupied territories of the West Bank of Palestine from being traded in Ireland. What does that mean? Those parts of Palestine, internationally recognised as Palestine, that are currently and have been for several decades illegally occupied by Israeli settlements in clear breach of international law, goods and services that they're producing could not be traded in this country. Why? Just like the call for a boycott of South African goods during the apartheid years, this is one of the things that we can do as a small country to try and exert economic, political and moral pressure both on the State of Israel, but on the wider international community to deal with that issue of illegal settlements. Obviously, the conflict has deteriorated much more dramatically in the last 2 years. Obviously, what's going on in Gaza, but also the escalation of violence against Palestinians in the occupied territories from illegal settlers, the disruption of their lands, their businesses, destruction of their homes, that has made it all the more urgent. So some people are saying we need more time. We don't. When Niall Collins, who was the Fianna Fáil spokesperson who introduced the bill, introduced it 6 years ago next week, he said, if not now, when? 6 years later, yeah. We've had all the time to consider, to think. It needs to be passed as part of the pressure to bring to bear both the international
further?
Community.
Because, you know, we import very little, I'm sure, from the occupied territories. I don't know what the list is, but it's a short list. You know, it's more symbolic than anything. And that's not to dismiss it. Symbols matter and kind of taking a stand matters in certain circumstances. But in terms of practical impact, it wouldn't have the same. In terms of, say, the boycott of South African goods, that was much more expansive. There were actual products that impacted.
But think about this for a moment.
Should this go further? Should we have an Israeli boycott?
If the women who took that brave decision not to stack South African fruit on the Dunn stores shelves hadn't done that because they said, well, does it really matter? Is it not really insignificant?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have led to pressure on the political system here.
But they had fruit to stack, I guess, is the question I'm asking. Should we do this to all products coming from Israel?
But my point is, it's not insignificant because somebody has to move first. Somebody has to get the ball rolling. The Occupied Territories Bill is a very specific demand and a very specific request, and I think it's a very legitimate one. But there's a range of other issues. So, for example, until there is a ceasefire and a process of dialogue, and there's talk about the possibility of that in terms of Israel's genocide against the people of Gaza, there clearly are far greater sanctions that need to be brought to bear to force the hand not only of the government of Israel, but of Washington and of the European Council and European Commission to do everything they can to ensure that all violence in Gaza and Palestine and Israel stops and there's a political process put in place. So those sanctions that we've been calling for are obviously to force a ceasefire, an end to the genocide and the beginning of a political process to deal with the underlying causes of the conflict there. The Occupied Territories Bill is very specific. And even if there was a ceasefire in Israel's onslaught on Gaza tomorrow, there are still large swathes of Palestine. These are Palestinian lands where Palestinian homes are there, farmers and businesses. And what happens? A group of people who aren't from there arrive in illegally. They steal their land. They destroy their homes. They destroy their economic opportunities. They force those people into being refugees. That is going to have to be addressed as well. And the Occupied Territories Bill, and you're right, we're a small country. We don't have economic clout. But I think we can stand proud of our record of asserting the moral authority of boycotts in those very specific circumstances. And therefore, this government should do it as a matter of priority. The legislation is there. The time has already been taken to go through it. We know Fine Gael is against it. They've always been against it. But Fianna Fáil introduced this bill. It had the support of a majority of TDs. In fact, subsequently, it had the support of a majority of senators.
But the South African example, it ultimately brought economic pressure to bear on the apartheid regime.
But that campaign took years to build because at the very start, people forget.
But already almost every country in the world kind of recognises these as illegal settlements. You know,
they do, but they're not taking any action on it. It's one thing to say they're illegal. But if, following Ireland's example, if the
action is effectively inconsequential from a practical point of view in terms of imports, exports, it doesn't have the same economic clout that the South African boycott had.
First of all, no action is inconsequential. And if we were to lead by example, it would also then give strength to those people in other European countries who are campaigning for similar pieces of legislation. It could have a knock-on effect and it could build. Somebody has to move first. Think about it this way. You're walking down the street. There's a house on fire. There's adults and children inside burning to death. Do you rush and grab a bucket of water to play a part in putting out the fire? Or do you stand back and wait to see what everybody else is doing? No, you put out the fire to save lives, even if your action is a small part of it. Ireland should lead by example. We have a huge moral authority as a country across the world. And I think we should avail of that. And this small, simple piece of legislation should be passed and should be passed as a matter of urgency. But the government also needs to do more in terms of taking sanctions against Israel, pushing for greater sanctions at an EU level until the genocide in Gaza stops and there is a viable peace process to ensure that the Palestinians have what they deserve, which is recognition, statehood and control over their own affairs.
Eoin O'Brien, Sinn Féin TD and still the party's housing spokesperson. Eoin, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.